I'd invite you to turn with me to the account of the Epiphany. Epiphany is a weird word, isn't it? It comes from prefix, epi, and then phaneo is to appear. So to appear upon or in, and it's referring to an appearance or showing is another way of translating that, a showing of especially Christ, but God in general. And in fact, some there's a fancy word for it as theophany, which is, for instance, famous theophany is where Moses is seeing the burning bush, which does not burn, or when he goes up upon the mountain to receive the tables of stone of the Ten Commandments. That's an epiphany. Another example might be Jacob wrestling with the angel. That's an epiphany. So here we find in Matthew the account of the wise men coming, as they're called, to Jesus, to see Jesus, and to be able to worship the King, the Epiphany that they have. Epiphany is a word that's used 59 times in the New Testament, as it is in the Greek, a word that is in its very forms. Here, in this little section alone, it's used three times. This is off the cuff. Three times. And so if you think about it, 59 times in the entire New Testament, three times just in this short little section, tells you how important the idea behind it is. Two of which are genuine. And the second, as you'll see, is one that's a complete fake, a phony, desiring to see, as Herod does, the Epiphany of the Lord. Or as it's translated here in the New International, worship. That's another way to actually translate the word. The appearance is to say, to give him rather homage, is to worship the Lord. But as I just used it in its original meaning, the word is to play proskuneo, means to pay homage. To ask to whom do you pay homage is to ask to whom do you owe your ultimate allegiance. You know, kids are taught in school, aren't they? Nearly every day they're taught to stand and to pledge allegiance to the flag. The flag of the United States of America, right? And yet there is one to whom we should pay even higher allegiance. As it said here in this scripture, chapter 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi, wise men, astrologers, really, came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." That's the first use of the word. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. A rival king? What's going on here? And all Jerusalem was as will happen when a king is disturbed, so will everyone else, was with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. And so looking at Micah, he said, they said, "In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied. For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. You know, of course, it was from Bethlehem that David came. And as some have pointed out, as Solomon, the wisest of the kings, he's sometimes called. So Jesus is the second Solomon, the son of David. Then Herod the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. The second time this word appears. Of course, the most duplicitous time, the most treacherous time. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him the third time. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word for us this morning. It's the first, the Sunday of Epiphany. I think this begs us to ask the question, who do we honor more than anything else in our lives? Who do we respect? These are all words that you could almost associate or substitute for homage. It comes from, of course, this Greek word that's used here, but in the medieval times, it was used as a way of homage was of referring to a vassal. You know, a vassal is an under someone who's in the class structures of the day under a lord. And so they would, as the word means, bend the knee to their lord, as it was a sign of their accepting him. They were hims largely as lord. I guess there was a few who were women as well. You think of a lot of, in the Byzantine, I just was seeing recently in the Byzantine era, many of the kings were actually not, they were so young, they were like 12 years old when they took over. And so guess who really held the reins of power? Their mothers. And some of the mothers held the power for a long time and actually had their kids this is a great mother, isn't it? Put to death so they could keep their power. At any rate, that's where the word derives from, to pay homage, to bend the knee, to worship. The question for us is then, where do we stand? With the wise men, the Magi, or with Herod? This is a time when people are making all kinds of, what do they call them? New Year's resolutions, right? How many of you have tried making a New Year's resolution? I used to go to the Y, and one church I served, the Y was only like a block and a half. So I went there, and they had a great racquetball court, and I love racquetball. So, and this is actually why I had to have surgery on my hand, because you know how racquetball goes. You're running right up to the wall and throwing your arm out, your hand out, to brace yourself from running right into the wall. So as I noticed in those years there, the parking lot would be full in January, February even. By March, it was getting less and less so. By the end of the year, it was like empty. So then again, it would start over. New Year's resolutions are something that we all, I think, sort of have innately within us. And today, as the first Sunday in our year, going back even to at least the 1600s, the Wesley Covenant service has always been something that people have made a New Year's resolution, made a new covenant with the Lord. Wesley actually got it from a guy by the name of Richard Allain, who I think he was born in 1611, right at the time of the King James Bible publication, if you think about it. And it developed this service, and its first use, I think, goes back to 1630. I already got prayer. Anybody not have the sheet that has this prayer? I thought a good thing as we enter into Holy Communion, the first communion of the year, to join in this prayer together. It's so profound and invites us to pay homage to the Lord, to bend the knee. In fact, it even begins, if you're able, kneel with me. Or at least to bow your hearts before the Lord. Let us pray. O righteous God, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, see me as I fall down before you. Forgive my unfaithfulness in not having done your will. For you have promised mercy to me if I turn to you with my whole heart. God requires that we shall put away all our idols. I hear from the bottom of my heart, renounce them all, covenanting with you that no known sin shall be allowed in my life. Against your will, I have turned my life toward the world. In your power, I will watch all temptations that will lead me away from you. For my own righteousness is riddled with sin, unable to stand before you. Through Christ, God has offered to be our God again, if we would let him. Before all heaven and earth, I here acknowledge you as my Lord and God. I take Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for my portion and vow to give up myself, body and soul, as your servant to serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of my life. God has given the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way and means of coming to God. Jesus, I do here on bended knee accept Christ as the only new and living way, and sincerely join myself in a covenant with him. Oh, blessed Jesus, I come to you, hungry, sinful, miserable, blind, and naked, unworthy even to wash the feet of your servants. I do here with all my power accept you as my Lord and head. I renounce my own worthiness and vow that you are the Lord, my righteousness. I renounce my own wisdom and take you for my only guide. I renounce my own will and take your will as my law. Christ has told us that we must suffer with him. I do here a covenant with you, O Christ, to take my lot with you as it may fall. Through your grace, I promise that neither life nor death shall part me from you. God has given holy laws as the rule of our lives. I do here willingly put my neck under your yoke to carry your burden. All your laws are holy, just, and good. I therefore take them as the rule for my words, thoughts, and actions, promising that I will strive to order my whole life according to your direction, and not allow myself to neglect anything I know to be my duty. The Almighty God searches and knows our hearts. Let me be your servant. Under your command, I will no longer be my own. I will give up myself to your will in all things. Be satisfied that Christ shall give us our place and work. Lord, make me what you will. I put myself fully into your hands. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and with a willing heart give it all to your pleasure and disposal. Christ will be the Savior of none but his servants. He is the source of all salvation to those who obey. Christ will have no servants except by consent. Christ will not accept anything except full consent to all that he requires. Christ will be all in all, or he will be nothing. O God, you know that I make this covenant with you today without guile or reservation. If any falsehood should be in it, guide me and help me to set it aright. And now, glory be to you, O God the Father, whom I from this day forward shall look upon as my God and Father. Glory be to you, O God the Son, who have loved me and washed me my sins in your own blood, and now is my Savior and Redeemer. Glory be to you, O God, the Holy Spirit, who by your almighty power have turned my heart from sin to God. Almighty God, the Lord omnipotent, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have now become my covenant friend, and I, through your infinite grace, have become your covenant servant. So be it, and let the covenant I have made on earth be ratified in heaven. Amen. Having renewed our covenant with the Lord, having given homage to our Savior, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the covenants which you have made, attempting to bring us back to you from our wayward way. The covenant with Adam, with Noah, with Moses and the law, the calling of all the prophets. And at the right time, you sent Jesus to be the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. We recall how on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. He gave thanks for it and broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, for this is my body given for you." And likewise, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks for it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so it is in remembrance of what you have done for us in Jesus Christ that we offer our honor and praise back to you as living and holy sacrifices, united with the sacrifice of Jesus himself, as we recall the mystery of faith. That Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Pour out upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine your Holy Spirit. Make them be for us just like the body and blood of Christ, that we ourselves might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. For it is by Christ, with Christ and in Christ, that all honor and glory be unto you, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. You know, if you'd come up, Gene, and join me in assisting me, some of you may have desired to get one of the cups that are in the narthex because of the situation we're in. And we'll be passing out these wafers, which I'll use this for. And if you get two or three, forgive me, but they're consecrated. Then you can get one as the cup from Gene. And then let us return to our seats where we'll commune together. Let us take and eat. And as his blood was shed for us, let us take and drink. Heavenly Father, thank you for your tender mercies always shown to us. Help us to be faithful to the covenant we make with you. You are from everlasting to everlasting, the end of the age, the Alpha and the Omega. You are the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords. Send us forth in the power of your Spirit to live, then, as witnesses for you. Amen.